Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Oh. 2026 was a disaster for revenue. -1.6, -0.51%, $317 million total.
That is the voice of Terry St. Cyr. He is the Assistant Superintendent for Finance and Business Services at the Escambia County School District, or Escambia County Public Schools, I guess, the ECPS versus ECSD. Stop changing your acronyms, man. Last year was a what?
2026 was a disaster for revenue.
For revenue, a disaster. A disaster across the board, not in terms of school quality. School grades are up, schools in Escambia County. But the money and student population problems are enormous. Now, he gave an introductory comment that goes back about 25 years kind of for perspective.
So a huge emphasis 25 years ago on increasing classroom and students. 25 years later, the big emphasis is on school choice, which is fine, but it depopulates our schools, and now we're dealing with the facilities that go along with that. So that's where a lot of our budget issues are, and having to deal with that is a major, major problem.
Yeah, I mean, if 25 years ago, he's saying over the course of time, the idea was build more schools, build more capacity so you can have smaller class sizes. Well, over time we did that, and, you know, in some places like, you know, Gulf Breeze is still living out of modular units, right? And that's very common in different places that have had more population growth than others. Sometimes we build a school, sometimes we just put trailers out, sometimes whatever. But the point is now, when students are leaving the system and going either into home education or going into private schools or going to charter schools, which are sort of public schools, not the same as public schools, right? They're outside that system. All of a sudden, you've got this infrastructure built for, let's say, 37 or 38,000 students in Escambia County, and your actual enrollment population is more in the, you know, 31 or 32,000, well, that's not great. That's not how it's supposed to be working, because you're overbuilt for what you've got, and therefore you've got waste and you've got overhead, and you're going to have financial problems as a result of that. The number of students who are staying in Escambia counties continues to decline in the public schools.
So over 1,000 students from the prior year declined in 2026.
Down 1,000, and over the course of 5 or 6 years.
But 2026 ended the year, like we just said, 1,044 below prior year in traditional schools, which includes DJJ and virtual in this slide. And then for
DJJ is Department of Juvenile Justice, okay?
And then for that period from 2020 to ending 2026, 4,657 unweighted FTE, negative.
Okay, so it just, and I don't know why I'm like recently just so much into math on the radio, but I think this is actually very important stuff. And kudos to Studio 850 and John Singley was the first one that reported this story, because he watches even the meetings sometimes before I get to him, or sometimes the meetings I don't even watch, he watches. He does great work at Studio 850. Anyway, in 2019-2020, you had 38,000 students in Escambia County. Okay, so think a little bit more than 10% of the population. Actually, yeah, that's about right, 330,000 people. Okay, it's pretty close, not quite. Okay, but 38,000 school-age children, okay? In charter schools, you had 800, okay? And then, 38,000 in the public schools. Then you had 800 in charter schools, and you had 800 in so-called scholarship, which is voucher and or homeschool. I guess maybe it doesn't even include homeschool. But that makes for almost 40,000 altogether. So about 2,000 out of the school system. Plus, again, I don't know if homeschool is even in this, frankly. When you go the next year, it declined by 1,500 in 2020-2021. That's COVID. But in the following year, it still declined by 200. And then 150. And then in 2023-24, which was when vouchers became universally available to everybody regardless of income, it declined another 1,200. And then last year, it declined another 500. The year before that, another 500. And then last year was another 1,000. So over the course of from 2019 to now, the school population in Escambia County is down 4,700 students out of a population of maybe 38,000 total. So you're talking about 15% decline over that time. That's a lot. Think of a business, a large business seeing thousands of customers declines by 15%. You're going to have to make some changes. And it's not that the kids aren't getting educated. The kids are getting educated in charter schools. The kids are getting educated in homeschool. The kids are getting educated in private schools. So now you've got a problem because you've got a school system built for, say, 38 or 40,000, and you've got an actual population of only, you know, 33,000. What do you do? Well, in their case, they kept salaries relative. I mean, they raised salaries, but the total expenditure on salaries, the total budget for salaries was relatively constant, down like a million. You can't reduce your budget for salary for payroll by 0.5% when your customer base declines by 3%. That's not feasible. That's why over time, over the last 2 years, the 2 years ago, they spent $10 million more than they revenued. And then last year, they spent $13 million more than they revenued. And keep in mind, that's partially or mostly because the state is giving them less money because the state is only funding you per student. But property taxes went up over that. Like, the total number of amount of money they made from property taxes increased substantially because the property tax rate didn't change, right? So they're actually making more money from the homeowners in terms of total dollars. They're making less money from the state in terms of total dollars. But they're running a budget deficit of $13 or $10 million a year, which has cut their savings account in half. It was about $45,000 5 years ago. Now it's going to be about $22,000 after this year. This is all really, really bad news, plus another 500 students they're going to lose over the course of the next year.
Projection-wise, we're talking about roughly 500 thereabouts, give or take. Moving into the new year, projections negative from prior year. From 2026 into 2027.
More on this in just a second. Candy, and by the way, this is not unique to Escambia County. I mean, some of it may be relatively unique, or the shape of a problem might be a little bit larger or smaller, but every county in Florida is dealing with this exact same problem because of vouchers, largely because of vouchers. Candy has traffic on the fives.
All right, watching an accident. This is on Avalon and Oak Lane in Milton, right near the new medical examiner facility, I guess, that hasn't opened yet.
Right.
Well, it is. But it doesn't look like it's slowing anything down. It looks like everything is running smoothly. Other than that, if you see an accident or slowdown, 437-1620, please text it in. It's Candy with traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, yeah. Candy. Back to more math on the radio. But the school district and budgets and the same process is going to be happening in Santa Rosa County as well. May already have happened. I may have missed a meeting. But Terry St. Cyr, again, the budget services director and superintendent of finance, assistant superintendent of finance.
Projection-wise, we're talking about roughly 500.
I'm sorry, I did that one already. Here you go.
So it's a continuous decline. I agree. We don't know when the floor is going to be there, and we've said that for years. Where is the floor? We've always had a little bit of a decline since 2010, I know. But then when we hit the 2020 year, it was just exponential.
We don't know where the bottom is of this loss of customers, this loss of students. And it's continuing to be worse every year.
The bottom row of the scholarships from 2020, 791, all the way up to 6305. And then for 2027, there'll be over 7,000 in scholarships.
So the vouchers, as you think of it. So 800 in 2019-2020, going to be over 7,000 next year. And keep in mind, the student population in Escambia County is not declining. The overall number of kids is going up. How do I know? Well, because the numbers, but also look around. They're building houses. Houses mean kids, right? There's not fewer kids. There are just fewer and fewer parents choosing to put their kids in public school as opposed to private school, homeschool, or charter schools, right?
So we had a $10.2 million overspend, drawdown of fund balance last year, or for 2025. For 2026, that's $13 million. And the resulting fund balance projection now, $22.8 million.
So that fund balance had been around 45. It's a savings account. Don't get hung up on the terminology, but the savings account had been in the $45,000 range, and now it's going to be in the $22,000 range. Why? Because you're 2 years in a row, you're spending $10 million over budget and $13 million, you're spending more than you took in. Guess how long you can keep that up? Till the number zero, which is 2 years. That's a bad way to go. And this problem continues to get worse and worse every year. You're getting less money from the state. You keep getting massive money from homeowners, more money every year, and still not able to manage it. Why? Well, you've got fewer customers. You've got to change how many people you have employed. You've got to change how many facilities you're operating. You've got to change some things in order to solve this nut, right? That's the problem.
2020.
So what should they do about it? Well, I mean, I've been talking about it so far as a bad thing for the school district, and it is a bad thing for the school district. But that doesn't mean it's a bad thing. Just because the school district has fewer customers and just because the school district is struggling to make ends meet because they've overspent with facilities and they're under-revenuing from the state, even though they're over-revenuing from property taxes, in my opinion, it's not necessarily bad. Here's why. Kids are still getting educated. In fact, kids are getting as good or better of an education as they would otherwise. How do I know? School grades are up, so the public schools are doing better. So the kids in public schools are getting a better education. How do we know? Because they're performing better. Largely as a result of the ongoing, like, three times a year progress monitoring is actually a really good program. There's some other reasons as well. But, you know, kids are getting better educated in the public school. And kids are also getting better educated in homeschool, private school, and charter school. How do I know? Because parents keep their kids in those environments. And they're going to them more and more. Now, you may say, well, that's not a scientific. Okay, but who is in the best position to decide whether a kid's getting a good education? Well, the parent. They may not always be right, but who do we trust with that assessment at bottom? It's the parent, right? So if parents are continuing to keep their kids in homeschool, private school, and charter school, and even opting out at a higher rate of public school to go to those environments, that means the voucher system is working. The kids who remain are getting a better education. The kids who leave are getting a better education. Everybody's better off. So is this a bad thing? Well, it's a bad thing from a financial point of view. The school district is struggling to figure out how to make ends meet. And they raised taxes, by the way. You know, the capital millage rate went from 1 to 1.5. So they raised taxes pretty dramatically this year. So what should be done about it? Well, I mean, you know, they're going to have to make some hard choices. Schools are probably going to close. Teachers are going to get laid off. But is it good or bad overall? I use the example of a restaurant, you know. If a restaurant is packed out, you know, like we drive on Davis Highway all the time because we kind of live in that area, but Texas Roadhouse is always packed out and Bubba's is always packed out. It's always kind of amazing to me that they are always packed out. Is that good or bad? Well, the customers are happy. The businesses are doing well, okay? It's not great for the other restaurants that aren't seeing a big boom, that are had lost customers, so it's bad for them, but is it good for the overall? It's good for the overall. Only problem is, who owns the struggling restaurant? We do. The taxpayers own the struggling restaurant. And we're paying a lot for it. In fact, I'd say we're paying too much for it. And the people who are running that restaurant are spending us into a deficit every year, and they're going to spend us down to zero at the same rate, and they keep saying they need more money, they need more money. And I'm like, well, but your customers are declining. Do better. And maybe if you can't do better still, you got to figure out a way to do this within the boundaries, right? So Terry St. Cyr at the end says, any questions about all this?
Any questions on FEFP? All right.
I'm actually surprised the numbers were so good.
Kevin Adams.
So when I look at the student enrollment drop, you know, you've stayed pretty close to where your budget's been every year, despite us going down in enrollment.
That's not a cause of celebration. If your budget is at the same level and your customer base has gone down 3% or more every year and is down about 15% from where it was, you don't celebrate keeping the budget constant. The budget should be cut. You should be spending less money. You're serving fewer customers. You need to spend less money. I mean, I know what he means is, gosh, I thought this was going to be even worse and it's not as bad as I thought, but it's not good to keep doing it this way.
I'm glad you
Keith
said
Leonard.
That. I'm glad you said that. I've said this to y'all before. I was talking to Dean about it before we came here. Like, we talked about grades and how excited we were. And then we start talking about this. And sort of feel like my coach, David, will appreciate. Coach Matthews used to tell me that, you know, pat on the back 16 inches from a kick in the rear. So kind of feel like we're getting kicked in the rear. But it really...
School grades are up, but the finances have come out, and now it looks really bad. So, 437-1620. Look, elections are coming. Questions need to be asked. Votes need to be cast. And, you know, we've got a school board that's going to be... Tonight, actually, is the regular meeting. This was the budget workshop on Thursday. But... Now you know what's going on. 725 on News Radio 92.3. Candy has traffic on the fives.
And it looks like everything is running smoothly for the most part. We were watching an accident just off Avalon, but that also doesn't look like a roadblock or anything. Shouldn't have any problems getting where you're going. The front gate to Pensacola NAS is running smoothly. 437-1620 if you see that accident or slowdown. It's Candy with traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Candy. Sure. If you're thinking about buying or selling a home, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty are really good at this, even in a struggling market. I mean, the market's hard right now. It's not as good as it was several years ago when it was easy to sell homes. And everybody saw somewhat of a decline over the couple of years, but they bounced back last year with up 30%. They sold 206 homes in 2025, so 4 a week on average, Christina Leavenworth and her team. In the last just 12 months, it's 266, so even accelerating 5 a week is crazy effectiveness. What makes them different? I can tell you a lot of things, but I'll just say talk to her. Sit down with her. You know, if you're going to – real estate's a big deal, right? You're buying a home, it's a big deal. You're selling a home, it's a big deal. You're thinking about a rental property, it's a big deal. So make sure you get the very best representation you can. Somebody's going to really help you do it right, get it done all the way through, and ask you questions that you might not have thought of so that you get the best for your money. Talk to her. Ask her your questions. And then, you know, see if it doesn't make sense to you. That's all I'm saying. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty.
Is your house your dream home? Or at least is it on the way there? Maybe it's time for a change. Maybe all you really need to turn your house into your dream home is an appliance upgrade. When it's time for an upgrade, then it's time to visit Topps Appliance in Milton. They're locally owned and operated. They have top-of-the-line freezers, refrigerators, dishwashers, and stoves to dependable washers and dryers. Topps Appliance carries the brands you know and trust, like GE, Hotpoint, Speed Queen, and more. Topps Appliance in Milton. They offer delivery and installation, something you won't get from the big box stores. And they have many items in stock, so you can take your new appliance the very same day. Topps Appliance. Check them out at toppsappliance.net on Highway 90 in Milton, just east of Stewart Street. Turning your house into your dream home. Topps Appliance.
Join Kenny Chartel from Affordable Automotive Gulf Breeze for car care this morning at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Kenny will be sharing his years of expertise on car maintenance, as well as tips and loads of great advice that'll keep your car running in top shape. Whether foreign or domestic, don't miss car care today at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
This is a statement from the National Weather Service.
September 2020. The National Hurricane Center predicted Hurricane Sally would come ashore in Mississippi.
A hurricane warning has now been issued.
But then, Sally made a right turn and surprised us by coming ashore here with a destructive power we have not seen since Hurricane Ivan, which is why you should keep your radio on News Radio 92.3 for all the latest watches, warnings, and full team coverage should the storm make that unexpected change of course. News Radio 92.3.
You're not looking for an argument. You just want to know what's going on.
And that's a good thing.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
He made me do it. He taught me to do it.
The kid swimming around with the fin in Jaws. If you didn't recognize it.
I didn't. Oh, that's great. That's a very... fantastic movie, and it still holds up.
It is. It's terrifying, too. I mean, talk about a horror movie affecting people's lives, right? Psycho made people afraid of the shower. Jaws made people afraid to go swim in the ocean or the Gulf. 437-1620. And Fatal Attraction made men afraid to cheat, so that's good. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning. A judge is putting a temporary block on the Paramount Warner Brothers Discovery merger. This comes after about a dozen states sued over the merger, arguing it would harm competition. The order puts a 2-week pause on the deal. Tennessee's trial against Instagram owner Meta is underway over claims that the platform targets and harms young users. Jury selection got underway on Monday. That trial is expected to last between 6 and 7 weeks. It'll focus on social media features like infinite scrolling, disappearing stories, and notifications. And SpaceX is hoping to launch its Starship rocket on Thursday evening from Starbase, Texas. The mission was previously planned for the 16th, but was canceled at the last minute.
All right, David, thank you so much for the update. I'm getting a bunch of texts in that are several of them are generally suspicious of the school grades really being A's. You know, various allegations about how that happened, including somebody here saying some things about like losing teachers and guidance counselors at Tate. And, you know, they put their kids in public school to get the better education. Now they're questioning that decision as well. I don't know the particulars. You know, one of the hardest things, one of the reasons I don't report a lot on the schools, it's really hard to get good information about so many different schools in both counties. It just is. So that's part of the reason that I sometimes don't pay as much attention to it as I wish I could.
I'm CJ Pop. The polls open at 9 a.m. Eastern across Arizona for the state's primary. Republicans are choosing their candidate to face off with Democratic Governor Katie Hobbs, who's running unopposed.
I'm not the Democrats' governor. I'm Arizona's governor.
Andy Biggs has represented Arizona's 5th District for 5 terms and is the former chair of the House Freedom Caucus. He has the backing of President Trump and Turning Point Action. U.S. Representative David Schweikert was elected to Congress in 2010. He's hoping to win over independent voters.
Fox's Alex Hogan. 10th straight night, U.S. military strikes inside Iran. Meanwhile,
the president will host the president of Lebanon later today as Israel has begun withdrawing troops from the southern part of that country of Lebanon.
Fox's Aisha Hosni at the White House. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It is 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got partly cloudy skies, looking like a make it mostly cloudy now, changing here as we go. 79 degrees. We'll get a look at our forecast. Brooke Richardson has that in just a few minutes. Well, the National Weather Service says storm surge inundation is possible during high tide Wednesday morning, especially along the northwest Florida and Alabama coastline as Tropical Storm Bertha moves across northwest Florida Gulf waters and Alabama. Meteorologist Steve Miller with the National Weather Service in Mobile says surge levels will depend on how close the storm gets.
Right now, we could see up to 2 to 4 foot storm surge. If it comes a little bit closer, it could be more.
Right.
If it decides to meander a little bit farther away or not be as strong, it'll be less. So it's just one of those things. It's best to be prepared for those people that could see that storm surge.
And both Santa Rosa and Escambia counties are offering free sand for flood-prone residents that are wanting to prepare for the storm. Escambia County has sand available at 8 locations, including Bars Field, Brent Athletic Park, and the Equestrian Center on Mobile Highway. Santa Rosa County residents can find sand in Navarre, Gulf Breeze, Pace, and Milton. All locations are first come, first serve, and open 24 hours, and residents need their own bags and shovels. For all of the available locations, just check your county website or look on our website at newsradio923.com or on the News Radio app. Pensacola plans to freeze hiring this fall as they're bracing for the statewide property tax referendum in November. CFO Amy Lavoie says the freeze, along with cuts to overtime and cost of living raises, start on September 1st. This comes as the city faces lower than expected revenue, even without the tax measure passing. City Council also voted to keep the current millage rate. If you're in need of food, News Radio's Chris Bryan with this report. He says today is
busy
your day.
Up in Cantonment today. The Cantonment Improvement Committee is hosting a food distribution event. They get this underway around 3 o'clock over at Carver Park. 10,000 pounds of food will be distributed to residents in need. Now, if you would like to receive that food, you must present a valid form of identification, and there's a limit of 3 recipients per vehicle. Chris Bryan, News Radio 92.3.
Thank you, Chris. Senator Rick Scott is criticizing New York City Mayor Zohran Mamdani, calling him an anti-Semite and a terrorist sympathizer. Scott's comments come after Mamdani threatened to have Israel's prime minister arrested. Scott said the threat makes Mamdani's radicalism clear. Wrote on social media that Mamdani should go live out his beliefs in Cuba. Well, Gulf Islands National Seashore closed several areas yesterday ahead of the storm moving west in the Gulf. Fort Pickens shut down yesterday, followed by Opal Beach and Johnson Beach as well. And it is 7:35 here at News Radio 92.3. Let's check in with Candy, who's got our traffic on the fives.
You know,
good news is we're not showing any of these slowdowns or delays. It looks like you shouldn't have any problem getting where you're going this morning. Mobile Highway clear through Beulah now. No delays on Burgess or Olive. 437-1620. If you see that accident or slowdown, it's Candy with traffic on the fives.
We are going to be seeing a high chance of rain today. 80% chance of those showers and thunderstorms. Periods of heavy tropical rains followed by cloudy and breezy conditions as Tropical Storm Bertha moves to our south. We're expecting highs today near 90 degrees with temperatures overnight dropping near 76. We're also going to be looking at high surf and a high rip current risk throughout the next couple of days. Going into Wednesday, 70% chance of those periods of heavy showers and thunderstorms, then cloudy skies and breezy conditions, high near 90 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And it's 77 degrees with mostly cloudy skies. Your next news in 30 minutes and breaking news anytime it happens. News Radio 92.3.
Murray with your money now. Gas prices continue to rise, surpassing that $4 per gallon marker.
I think between Ukraine's attacks on Russia's refineries in the U.S. and Iran, that is the bulk majority of what's moving gas prices in the last week or two, and probably will continue to push prices up in the next couple of weeks.
That was Patrick DeHaan with Gas Buddy. AAA data says that the national average price for regular gasoline sits at $4.01 per gallon. Abu Dhabi's national oil company has approved a $6.2 billion gas project at the Umm Shaif offshore field. The development is expected to add more than 600 million cubic feet per day of gas production by 2030. Analysts say inflation fears are back on the table amid worries over escalating tensions between the U.S. and Iran in the Middle East, which has kept oil prices elevated. BlackRock estimates that the conflict will add around 0.8 percentage points to global headline inflation. Futures are moderately higher as tensions in the Middle East intensify. Dow futures up by more than 100 points. That's your money now.
Things keep getting bigger and better at Darrell Sewing of Pensacola. Darrell Sewing is the largest sewing machine dealer in the Pensacola area, offering a variety of sewing machines, sergers, and embroidery systems, plus a large selection of sewing machine furniture, craft supplies, and fabrics. Financing is available too. Call him today, 850-438-5444. Darrell Sewing, located at 6705 North Davis Highway between Creighton and Burgess. Online at sewinginpensacola.com.
I'm Dr. Isaac Williams, running for Escambia County School Board, District 3. District 3 is asking for a change, and I agree. District 3 deserves a representative who will listen, communicate, and stay connected. I'm a retired military leader, a pastor, a community leader, and I'm ready to serve. I'll support teachers, strengthen schools, put students first, and always involve parents. I'm Dr. Isaac Williams. On August 18th, I would appreciate your vote.
Paid political ad by Dr. Isaac Williams, Escambia School Board, District 3.
There are a lot of questions about roof replacement in the news lately, such as insurance companies demanding replacement before they cancel coverage to companies not doing the job that they sold to you. Make sure you tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel this Thursday at 9:30 as Quality Roofing Solutions will answer your questions. Find out what makes Quality Roofing Solutions the premier contractor in Florida this Thursday at 9:30.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Planning your vacation? Why not take Pep Talk with Meg with you?
A vacation? Oh, my God, I can't wait to go. Okay, where are we going to go first?
No, take News Radio along via the app.
Oh.
Just go to your app store, search News Radio 92.3, download the app.
Okay.
And listen to Pensacola's news leader with crystal clarity wherever you go. And it's absolutely free.
That'll work.
Get it now and tap the app to get News Radio 92.3, no matter where in the world you are.
Morning, 7:39, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Chip Simmons, our great sheriff in Escambia County, is here with me in studio. Sheriff, welcome back, sir. Good to have you. Oh, put his, there's several different mics you got to try there. How about that one?
Yeah, good morning.
There we are. There you go. Fantastic. Well, let's start with the one that is least to do with your job. But you did get a little bit of attention because
of it. None of my business. Is
yeah. No, never worry about stepping outside of your lane. It's okay.
No.
In the mad scramble to get any information or perspective on the low pass from Blue Angel number 3 last week at the Breakfast with the Blues event, you know, somebody asked you for a comment, and as the sheriff, you know, you're not an expert on pilots or flying or any of that, but you had a thought, right?
Well, I mean, yeah, I can give my opinion, right?
Everybody can. It's a free country.
Well, what happened is I was fortunate enough to be there on Wednesday morning, Breakfast with the Blues. And, yes, I saw the low pass, and we're all looking at each other. Wow, that was cool, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So we leave, and then I see that night all these national news talking about a terrifying event at Pensacola. I'm like, yeah, that's not what happened. So I go to work, and I see all these messages for me to comment about, you know, my thoughts on the dangers of the military flight demonstration team. I'm like, that's crazy. So I said, hey, relax, dude. This is the Blue Angels. This was the coolest thing that our guys have experienced in some time.
Y'all misspelled thank you.
yeah. And then I did. I got a lot of comments. Well, what makes you an expert in nothing? Absolutely nothing. You know, but I can get my tape measure out and see how high he was, and yeah, I can figure out if he would like me to. But no, I will tell you this though. I did run into an actual flight expert when we talked. I talked to the Medal of Honor recipient, Royce Williams,
yeah,
the last couple of days. So
he did a thing at NAS Pensacola and the aviation school, which he started at. Yeah.
Oh, it's a great story. I don't know if you've been talking about it at all, Andrew, but I think that you know, we talked about the Blue Angel low pass, and I think we've kind of talked that out.
Yep, sure.
Right? You know, I've given my opinion. I support the Blue Angels. I certainly support the air shows. Anything beyond that, I think, is just hyperbole.
Well, what do you want to say about Roy?
What people may not know is in the Korean conflict, Korean War, depends what you want to call it, he was up and he ran into, he and his jet ran into a couple of MiGs, mm-hmm, and he ended up shooting down 4 of them, but he was sworn to secrecy because at the time, it was a Cold War, no one wanted to say that we were at war with Russia.
Yeah.
And so for years, he kept that secret, and ultimately, he landed.
Even from his wife, if I remember correctly.
That's correct. That's right.
I don't know how you do that as a married guy for 28 years. We just don't keep secrets. But, man, that's...
Well, every time she came to talk about something, he says, I'm sorry, I can't talk to you about anything because it might give a secret out. But, no, he landed, and his jet was riddled with 263 bullet holes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he turned 100, I think 101 now,
mm-hmm,
and he becoming the oldest recipient of the Medal of Honor. And talking to him, sharp as a tack, we talked a lot about, you know, about what he did and what our country is doing now. I was born in Keflavik, Iceland, people know it now, as a military brat, and he's very familiar with the airport there and the base there. So we had a conversation about that. And it was a great period. I was able to give him make him an honorary deputy.
Oh, nice.
Maybe the second best honor he's ever had received.
10th, 15th, 20th,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
Sure enough.
So anyways, we still have heroes living among us, and we should give them the respect that they deserve.
Yeah, and somebody had sent me the thing from Divid's Hub, and then NAS Pensacola also posted it, that they had him at their NIFE graduation, Naval Introductory Flight Evaluation, what you think of starter school beginners for aviators, but at their the knife graduation ceremony on board NAS Pensacola on the 15th, so that would have been Tuesday, I think, if I'm not mistaken, Wednesday. Anyway, so yeah, fantastic and wonderful to see him with all the people where he started, right, so many years ago. We've actually had a couple of those sort of things to think about recently, like today and yesterday is the anniversary of the moon landing.
Wow.
You know, it's always a which time do you do it, because it's kind of in both yesterday and today. But what people sometimes forget is that Neil Armstrong...
daylight savings time back then.
Well, right.
I'm
no, not that.
That's not
moonlight savings time. Neil Armstrong reported to NAS Pensacola for his introductory, you know, flight training back in 49. And then, you know, we also have today is the birthday of the county, right? The county is 205 today, right?
They didn't invite me to their party.
No. But the county sheriff is also 205. The sheriff's department is 205 today, right?
That is correct. 1821.
So there you go. So how do you feel?
I feel older.
Okay.
More
mature?
On behalf of the sheriff's office, we feel every year we feel.
Every creak and groan. I feel every bit of 205.
Exactly.
All right. Very good. We're talking.
You're right. July 21st. is the birth date as the date that Andrew Jackson signed the Escambia County and St. John's County into existence.
Well, happy birthday.
Well, thank you very much. I don't know, where's the cake? I get it.
I mean, they took away some jurisdiction since then.
Yeah. Secessionists.
It was half the state back then, right?
Yeah, we were here to St. John's County, and they had the rest of the swampy area.
And ever since, you've been just losing territory.
And ever since, we've been in a disagreement over St. John's County, over who was the oldest.
Who was the oldest sheriff, of course.
I know myself and the St. John's County Sheriff, Rob Hardwick, is always talking about which one was first. And since the E goes before S, we're alphabetically, we were the first ones. We're on top of that.
It's better to be alphabetically superior.
It's better to be superior.
You say it. 7:45 on News Radio 92.3. Candy has traffic on the fives.
No, this is Rich. 437-1620. If you see this accident or slowdown, you can let us know. Candy with traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back to Chip Simmons. I don't know. You want to make an off-mic comment to me somehow?
No. I was like, these people are probably thinking, these idiots. What are they doing?
Well, no, they think that about me. You're guilt by association.
Yeah, I was talking about y'all too.
Okay, fair enough. No, that's well earned, deserved. we had over the weekend, there was a beach event going on at, the wharf, not the other wharf, our wharf. And there was a shooting that took place. What happened here?
Well, we get a call about, 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning that there was a shot fired. Depends on who you talk to, when we got there and whether it's one shot or more than one shot. But what we, understand, when we get there was the people saying, well, he shot himself. And then another person said, well, he shot himself. And then
by accident.
To him. By accident, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It was not attempted suicide.
That's what I'm saying, just to clarify.
And when we talk to him, and he's not being cooperative and not giving us what we think is the legitimate story. And so by all accounts, it looks like he may have been handling the gun or mishandling the gun and then accidentally shot himself in the calf. The injury occurred in the calf. So fortunately, he's going to be okay. We're still investigating it, still looking for video. This took place behind the Wharf restaurant. That you referred to, and apparently they were charging people $100 to camp behind their leased area of the beach.
Okay.
And their property, that's when it occurred. So okay. We're still looking into it.
Kind of the camping thing is kind of weird because you're generally not supposed to stay overnight, right? In
that's
the
correct.
Parking lot or on the beach. But Blue Angel is kind of a weird event, and people come so early that how do you distinguish between the people who are staying late and the people who are coming early, right?
Yeah, I mean, you can be in, just take the Casino Beach parking lot. I mean, it stays full all day and all mm-hmm. night, certainly that during that Blue Angel time period. And then people are going, there's bars are still open until, 2:30 or so. Mm-hmm. And then, like you said, how many people are staying for that and getting a late start of it, they're going home. And then how many people come early because, you know, we tell people get there early.
Which
and
they
so
do
some
now.
People do. They get up at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. So, you know, sometimes you get that. The leaving traffic and the coming traffic all the same way.
Question, because it comes up, it came up particularly this year, but other years as well. I mean, the you guys announced that the lot was closed, the Casino Beach lot was closed at 4:30, very earliest that I can remember. But looking at the pictures, the video, there's a lot of open space. And so this is the question I get is, why does the sheriff steal so much of the space at the Casino Beach parking lot for himself?
I'm not sure if you're messing with me or
no,
not.
No, that's the question I get from people. Why is the sheriff taking all these spaces? And I'm like, I don't, but go ahead. I know you want to answer.
Again, I was there Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and the only spaces that we take are the, like, 5 or 6 spaces right in front of our precinct. The other spaces are occupied by fire trucks, EMS. There's large tents. I call them cooling tents. They probably have some fancy name for it. But it's hot out there, and so when people overcome with the heat, they bring them in there and they treat them, and they do a very good job. But if you look at it, these are all public safety type of operations. And if you don't want them there, I'm not sure where else you could have them where you could actually treat people right away.
Yeah.
So if there's a question on how many spots the sheriff takes for himself,
not that
I don't
many.
Have any spots out there myself. But there are about 5, and they're right up against the building itself.
Well, I will tell you and all your fire trucks and all your ambulances and your flight line and all the stuff that you are personally responsible for.
Put
as
your
sheriff.
Recommendations in writing, and I'll evaluate where to put these fire trucks and EMS crews. And I will tell you, we even had trouble with lifeguards getting a parking space. We had to try to work and find them some spots, and they're supposed to have a spot. I'm assuming that people would understand that a lifeguard needs a parking space, a fire truck needs a parking space, a police car needs a parking space.
What was that first part? You would think people would understand.
Yeah. Well, I would hope that people would understand.
But, You've met people, though, right?
To listen. If they want to send a recommendation, with a diagram, let me know how to do it. We'll get to work on it.
Speaking of the beach, some things may have escaped our notice.
Who knows?
So there was a guy who, I guess, stole his buddy's gray truck and literally drove it like he stole it. All along Fort Pickens, running into people, hitting cars left and right, driving around people, eventually wound up getting caught, I guess, in Gulf Breeze, got across the bridge and got over into Gulf Breeze. Gulf Breeze police made the arrest. But you guys were involved in this because the beach is ours and,
Yeah. He was at one point he was just driving in the wrong side, trying to get around traffic. And honestly, people do that a lot. There are people that are in a hurry. They think that they're more important than everyone else, and they go around cars. This guy... he did. He stole a car or a truck that was not his, and he did not have permission to get it. And then he ran around in the medians. He hit not one, not two, but three cars on Pensacola Beach and didn't stop. He left. So he had three hit and runs there. We're trying to get a hold of him, but as you can do, traffic is gridlocked.
Hard for you to maneuver just like it is for him, right?
Some of our guys are on four-wheelers, and some of us are in our cruiser cars, obviously. So we radio ahead and let Gulf Breeze know. The guy gets over the Bob Sykes Bridge. And then the Gulf Breeze Police Department tries to get him. They don't actually pit him, as I understand it, but he does ends up running into a pole, and he's not injured. But apparently, he wasn't drunk. He was not arrested for DUI.
Well, you can see him on the video. He got out and ran away like an alert person would. You know,
yeah.
I mean, it was quick too. It was like, man, I just ran into this tree. Time to run. You know.
Yeah. And so anyway, so he was charged. He will be charged with by the Florida Highway Patrol three hit and runs in Pensacola Beach. And then ultimately Gulf Breeze ended up, who works their own crashes, they worked a crash in their jurisdiction. So he's got a lot of charges on him. Now, there was some indication that he might have hit some pedestrians. We spoke to Florida Highway Patrol. They have no indication that he hit any pedestrians up Pensacola Beach. We also spoke to Gulf Breeze Police Department. There's no indication he hit a pedestrian over there either. So it was all this. There was reports of pedestrians hit and one was killed, and that's none of that part.
Thank goodness. I mean, driving around like that, you could have easily killed people. I mean, it could have easily happened with all the pedestrians and bicyclists around at that time. I mean, it's very, very dangerous like that.
There was a word that he was on active duty in NAS. He was active duty, but it was at Eglin.
At Eglin, right. So. Burglary at Crabs?
Yeah. Early morning hours, well, between, I guess, 1 o'clock and 5 o'clock on, I guess, Sunday night.
So going over into Monday morning?
Individuals, looks like maybe four individuals total
okay. That
are involved, and they cut the power, they broke in, they were able to access the safe at Crabs and stole what I'll describe as an undisclosed amount of money.
Okay.
And in today's environment, you know, most people use cards.
Right.
You know, so it's not like you would get the money that you used to be able to get if you were such the bad guy. But anyways, we ended up we're investigating it. We're looking for leads. We're obviously evaluating video footage.
Yep.
That we came with either our cameras or cameras of some surrounding businesses.
And it's one of the most surveilled parts of the county, Pensacola Beach. I mean, you've got the parking lot. You've got I'm sure the restaurants have their cameras. I mean, it's there's a lot of information to process.
Well, we're pretty sure that they entered from the south side, the beach side.
From the beach side. Okay, gotcha.
So,
I see. Okay.
So we got to kind of go around.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And look and how far they would have traveled with all the equipment that they would have needed.
We had an overnight arrest. I think it was a car stop with the drug and gun charges. 36-year-old Tristan Salter from a week ago.
Yeah, we were actually working a separate case on Smiley Avenue when we noticed him staying near his truck. And when he saw deputies, he panicked, quite frankly, and threw a Stanley Cup over the fence into a neighbor's yard and then started reaching around in obvious panic mode into his truck. So bottom line is we're like, dude, we saw that. We saw what you did.
Yeah.
And so we're investigating it and ended up seizing, that Stanley Cup. We also have located a firearm, 104 grams of cocaine, which is quite a bit of cocaine.
Yeah.
500 grams of marijuana and some drug paraphernalia. We put a picture out there. You can see some of the stuff. You see the firearm, 1, 2, 3, 4 bags of cocaine, the little scale, some little plastic bags. So clearly he was, in our belief or estimation, was trying to sell this sort of thing. So he's charged with trafficking in cocaine. And because obviously he was intending to distribute this.
I am glad we don't have any time to talk about this next story, and I hate to leave it on this, but NorthEscambia.com had a very heartbreaking article about a couple who have a daughter who they neglected based on the account, malnourished, kept locked in a room, told not to you know, eat barely anything. I mean, when she was in the hospital off and on, they would nourish her back to health, and then she'd go back to this environment that was a horrible, neglectful environment based on the allegations. They're both in jail at $200,000, and the only reason I want to mention it is because I know you want to remind people that if you see something or you suspect something, call somebody. We are all mandatory reports, and it is the kids who suffer if you keep your mouth shut.
Yes, anyone over the age of 18 is a mandatory reporter. You can do it anonymously unless you're in certain fields, law enforcement, medical field. And you can just do report it to the abuse hotline, and you can do it anonymously. That's what's so important. I mean, this happened over the course of an extended period of time.
Right.
And when you read it, you just think of the horror that this child has had to endure. And over the last couple of months, if you recall, we've had a couple of these cases.
Yep.
In fact, one point we arrested an individual that was supposed to be checking on the children.
Right.
And when in our belief was not doing what they were supposed to be doing. So just remember, you can report anonymously, again, unless you're law enforcement or medical field. And you don't, which means you don't have to give your name, right? You can call the abuse hotline and say, I'm aware of this and that happening. And I believe if more people do that, then maybe some of these kids that we find out, maybe these things wouldn't last so long.
I just, when I read these stories, it is so heartbreaking. It is awful to imagine. And
I'm angry.
You're right.
And reading these stories, I'm just like, I shouldn't say. Just go ahead.
I know what you mean. And of course, the most frustrating thing of all is, you know, there are other kids out there that we don't know about.
Right.
That nobody's reported about, that nobody's seen. And unfortunately, horrible things are happening to. And I'm with you. I just get, there's not a lot of things in this world that make me angry, like people who mistreat women and people who mistreat kids. And man, these do. Chip Simmons, our sheriff for Escambia County, as always, sir, thank you so much for the time and what you do to keep us informed and safe. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
You bet. You'll take care.
756, Candy has traffic for us. Candy?
All right. And watching a few accidents. Love you, Sheriff Chip Simmons. We appreciate you so much. All right, bye. As far as our roads go, we do have an accident. This is I-10 eastbound, it looks like, at mile marker 6, and it is slowing things down quite a bit eastbound. I-10 eastbound, again, mile marker 6, so use caution there. And then Davis, just on the other side of the spur, showing a vehicle crash. It's slow there, but slow anyway because of the lights. If you see an accident or a slowdown, you can certainly let us know. 437-1620.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
What should you look for in a church? Allow me to give you three things. Look for a church that exalts the Savior, a church that equips the saints, and a church that evangelizes the sinner. And by exalt the Savior, I mean a church where Christ is not just prominent, but where he's preeminent in the singing and preaching. And by equip the saints, I'm describing a place where Christians are learning the Bible and are growing in their personal walk with God. By evangelizing the sinner, I'm describing a church where the congregation is together focused on giving the good news of the gospel to the community around them. Ladies and gentlemen, I urge you to get involved in a church with these three ingredients, and you'll find yourself in a healthy church.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
Santa Rosa, I am Jill Broxson-Teston, a parent of four amazing children. I understand a strong school system is one of the most important investments we can make in our children's future. That's why I'm running for School Board District 5. My mission is to be your strong advocate for our public school system. I'll lead with transparency and steady leadership to help ensure the long-term success of our district. On August 18th, I'll be honored to earn your vote.
Paid for by the campaign to elect Jill Broxson-Teston for Santa Rosa County School Board.
Managing your ECUA service is easier. The new My ECUA mobile app puts everything you need right at your fingertips, from paying your bill, submitting service requests, and reporting issues.
7:59 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. By the way, Bands on the Beach is tonight on the Rocks performing at 7 o'clock at the Gulfside Pavilion at Casino Beach, the aforementioned. David Wayne has a 10-second headline for us. I know he does.
A federal judge in San Francisco signed off on Anthropic's agreement to pay $1.5 billion to authors and book publishers. It's believed to be the largest class action settlement in history of U.S. copyright.
Local talk in the morning, 5 to 9, with Andrew McKay is on News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.